Well, I tell you, I've enjoyed that singing tonight. I needed that. It was a blessing to me, especially that song a moment ago. It'll be worth it all when we see Christ. All of us have problems, and we don't always tell each other what our problems are. But I tell you, I've had my share of them the last, seemed like, year or so. And I just wouldn't believe the trouble we've had and at home, and just the devil fighting just about every way possible. But I tell you, it'll be worth it all. I don't care what you're going through, friend. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. I appreciate this good crowd tonight. I'm glad to be here. I don't feel ought to be here, but I'm glad the Lord allowed me to. I'm glad to be able to take part in this service tonight. I've enjoyed the good preaching we've been hearing. I don't always say a lot about that, but I have enjoyed, especially Brother Gibbs' two messages, and then Brother Robertson this morning. And I think Brother Gibbs, he really has done a wonderful job being from up north and being able to preach that good. I really do. I think he deserves an amen for overcoming his speech handicap and still being able to preach the Word of God. I'm serious. It takes a lot more for somebody from up north to be able to preach than it does from the south. I don't see how they do it. Their vocabulary is so limited that missing out on a lot of things. But anyway, somebody said not long ago that you can take a compass and put it down on Asheville, North Carolina, and draw a circle in the 150-mile radius of Asheville. That gets in the tip of Tennessee, Greenville, South Carolina, and around all over the Piedmont of North Carolina, and there's more preachers come out of that 150-mile radius than any other spot in the United States. And I don't know why that is. I guess so. I don't know why that is. But the farther back you go in the mountain, the more of a negative attitude people have toward educated preachers. They think there's two kinds of preachers, an educated preacher and a God-called preacher. That's right. Now, I don't believe that. That's what a lot of them think. And they probably have good reason for feeling that way. I mean, they think you got a red Bible, you're a compromiser. Really? That's the truth. They think if you don't spit all over the first three rows, and you just ain't preaching. They'll say, well, he give a nice little talk. But I tell you what, I like all kinds of preaching. I like it soft, I like it loud, I like it just as long as the man's preaching the truth and telling me the word. There's a lot of them up there, it don't matter what you preach, just as long as you do it like they want it done. You have to be from North Carolina, South Carolina to understand this little story, but it's illustrated like this. Little boy comes in, he's been out in the yard playing about all day, he's been out there and he comes in and he says, Mama, 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 God called me to preach. She said, now shut up, son. God ain't called you to preach. I don't want to hear none of that. You don't talk like that. The Lord ain't called you. Little old bitty boy. He said, yeah, Mama, God called me to preach. And she said, now God ain't called you to preach. He said, let me preach. Let me show you I can preach. She said, all right, go ahead. So he jumps up on a big wash tub there, a bucket, and said, the little red hen come around the barn. She said, now, son, that's not funny. That's not preaching. God, he said, Mama, God has called me to preach. She said, that ain't preaching. Now hush. He said, Mama, let me try it just one more time. She said, all right, honey. He jumped up there again. He said, the little red hen come around. She said, woo, glory to God, he has called you to preach. That's it. Amen. And I must admit to you tonight that I like it when they preach like that. I do. Glory to God. Go ahead. I enjoy it. I appreciate it. I like all kinds of preaching, and I've sure enjoyed the preaching we've heard, and I'm looking forward to hearing this other preacher in a few minutes. The Lord began to deal with my heart about something before I came down here this week, and I figured that most of the messages would be to the boys in school and the preachers, and I guess it ought to be. There's maybe a neglected group here, possibly during these meetings, that I felt like I ought to preach to tonight, and that's the young people. And so tonight I'm going to be bringing a message to the young folks. All you other old folks, you that are over the hill, 25, 26, you can just sit back and rest or go to sleep or something. I thought these young people tonight, especially when I saw this big group of young folks come in tonight, I wonder how many people we got in here tonight that are under 25. Would you stand? If you're under 25, would you stand? Keep standing for a minute. All right, I'd say that's over half the congregation. You can be seated. I appreciate that. I thought about having all the young people to come up to the front, but I don't believe we can do that. There's so many of them. So we'll just bring your message tonight, Proverbs chapter 1, on what I believe is the greatest problem among young people. I believe that. You say, what is it? Drugs? No. Nope. Alcohol? No. Nope. Promiscuity? No. Nope. I'm talking about a problem that causes all of them three. Here it is, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. Well, let's start with verse 10 right quick. We'll try to hurry. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. There it is right there. If they say. Now, you ever read Proverbs and try to figure out who this they is? Kids get in trouble. Mom said, well, Mama, they said, who is this they kids are always talking about? If they say, two boys are getting in trouble. You go talk to one of them's mama said, he's hanging out with the wrong crowd. You go talk to the other mother, she said, my son's a good boy, he's hanging out with the wrong, who is that wrong crowd? It's everybody's kid but yours, to the average parent. But somehow or another, they're there, and they're trying to get you to do wrong. Verse 11, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Stop right there just a second. Have you ever noticed how when young people hang around, it's always we? We're going to the ball game. We're going to the dance. Come know with us. Young people are afraid to do anything by themselves. That's why when you're a teenager, you call a friend and say, are you going to go? You're going to go? I'm going to go. You ain't going to go? I ain't going to go. What are you going to wear? What if you're going to wear this? I'm going to wear that. Man, they'll drive you crazy with that stuff. They have a certain feeling of insecurity and don't want to do anything unless the gang does it. Now, I have my gang I run around with before I got saved, and even though I think I was independent and an individual, I still depending heavily on that crowd I run with. Look at verse 14. Cast in thy lot among us, of course. Let us all have one purse, of course. You got a lot of friends if you'll cast in your purse with them. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. That means if a bird can see you spreading the net for him, you waste your time. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom cries without, shuddereth her voice in the streets. She cries in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here. Thank you for the good singing, for the spirit, for the atmosphere. Thank you for the shouts of praise, the songs of Zion. Now, God, I thank you for this great number of young people that are here in church on Friday night. Lord, it's encouraging and it's a blessing. I pray that somehow we can be a blessing to them. Help us to say what ought to be said and work in the hearts of these young folks here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, peer pressure. What I believe is the greatest problem among the young people in America tonight. The reason many young people get on drugs and drink liquor, they don't like it the first time, but they do it most of the time to impress their friends or to be accepted by the crowd at school. Now, go with me in your imagination for a minute. A young man is sitting in the back seat of a car.
It's dark outside, and they've got a tape in the tape player, and the favorite music is playing. There's three other boys in the car. These three other boys are discussing what they're getting ready to do. And one of them said, "Oh, Mr. Jones down here that runs the supermarket, he's gone home, the lights are out. I know a back door we can get in, and we can sneak in the side door there. All we got to do is bust the window. We'll go in, get the cash register money, take all the candy we can get in our pockets, and we'll be gone out of there before anybody knows what has happened." And as they begin to discuss that, the one young man sitting in the corner back here begins to get nervous. He's about a year or two younger than the other three fellows, and he's sitting there and a funny feeling gets in the pit of his stomach. And he gets nervous. And one of them says, "Hey, Joe, you with us, ain't you?" And he kind of gets a funny, scared look on his face and says, "Boys, I don't know about this. Maybe we ought not. That might not be a good idea." And they say, "Oh, we'll do this and we'll do that." And while they're talking, that young man's mind begins to drift. And he drifts back to his home when he's about that high. And he sees his mama coming in to pray with him before he goes to bed at night. And his mama takes a Bible, and she said, "Now, son, let's pray." And he sees him getting down beside the bed. And his mama looks at him, and she says, "Son, one of these days there's going to be some older boys try to get you in trouble. They're going to try to get you to do wrong, son, but don't listen to them. Just remember, try to do the right thing." And then he thinks about that, and then he snaps back into the car. He hears the music. The lights are off. It's dark. The boys are laughing and cutting up about what they're going to do with the money. And they said, "You're with us, ain't you, Joe?" And Joe said, "Boys, I don't think we should. We might get caught." And so they said, "No, we'll do this and that." While they begin to talk, his mind drifts again. And brother, he begins to go. He goes back to his Sunday school class, where he sat when he's 12 and 13 years old. And he can see that old godly Sunday school teacher stand in front of him and open a book. And he looks at that crowd and he said, "Young men, always try to stay straight. Somewhere out there, there'll be a crowd trying to get you to do wrong. Don't do it, boys. Don't go with them. Keep your life clean." And boy, that old young boy's heart begins to burn. And immediately he snapped back into the car when one of them says, "Joe, are you going?" And Joe said, "Boys, I just don't think we ought to do that. It's too risky. We could get in big trouble." And they said, "Oh, no, we'll do this and that." While they're talking, his mind drifts one more time. And he's sitting in the house of God. And brother's sitting in church services. And he sees his pastor up preaching. And he hears that pastor come down and hit that pulpit sounding like thunder, saying, "Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. It's wrong. It's a sin." And boy, he begins to get worried then. And then them boys begin to talk to him. And he said, "I don't think we're going to do it." And one of them kind of grins at him and says the magic word. Everybody know what the magic word is? Yeah. Yeah. One of them looks and says, "Why, you ain't chicken, are you?" And that does it. That darn your hair off on it be called a chicken. And he said, "No, sir, I ain't a chicken, let's go." And so they go in there and they went down the back and they're laughing and say, "Be quiet, you crazy." You know, this and that, and breaking in, but one of them gets in. "Come on, boys, let's go." Then they're filling up their pockets with candy, laughing, tripping over things, knocking things down. About that time they hear a siren and a light start flashing. They start scrambling, brother, like rats headed for the cracks in the walls. And boy, they begin to run. Next thing, police are surrounding. Say, "You crazy thing, why'd you make that noise?" Then next thing I know, they find themselves in the police station. Here he is about 15 years old, and a telephone rings at home. Some mama answers the phone. "Is this so-and-so?" "Yes." "Is something wrong?" "Do you have a son?" "Yes." "Has he been hurt?" They say, "I'm sorry, Mrs. Jones. Your son has been picked up for breaking and entering. We have him down here at the police station." Oh, she goes into hysterics, crying, "John, where did we go wrong?" I mean, she just goes all to pieces. And that man, "You wait till I get my hands on that kid. You know, this and that." And what she said, "Now, John, be easy on him. I know it's some old boys he's running around with." She goes in there just about to have a heart attack. And there he sits, and she goes, runs up and hugs him. He said, "The moms won't get flaky in here. Just calm down and just behave yourself." And she said, "Now, son, why'd you do it? Why'd you do it?" On the way home, the daddy said, "Young man, you will not die. You're grounded." All this stuff, you know. He said, "Mama, I didn't want to. Mama, I knew it wasn't right. But, Mama, I couldn't stand the pressure. There's a problem." Young girl goes to a school dance. which is a dumb thing to do to start with. But she went. You know why she went? Because she got to date Lover Boy. And every boy, every girl at school is after Lover Boy. And he finally asked her out. And brother, when you date Lover Boy, you just let him decide where you go and what you want to do. Because he's the best player on the football team. And he's got muscle. Son, if they look good and they got muscles when they're in high school, you better stay away from them. They'll be fatter than a pig time they're 30. Amen. You better get you on a trail. They're in skinny now. Think of the future, man, what you have to live with. All right, listen. So she goes to the school dance. It ain't long, boy, till they start bringing out some drinks. And she's a Christian. She's a good girl. She's been raised in church. She's been taught right. No way she could ever go wrong. She's heard the Bible preached. And boy, about that time, couples begin disappearing this way and that way. And they're going out this way and that. Now, no use getting embarrassed, moms and dads. I'm going to get a lot plainer before I get through. And I ain't going to say nothing that your kids don't hear about 10 times worse every day of their life. I mean, you got to face it nowadays. That's what's going on. And my friend, they're out there living. And my boy says, come on, let's go for a ride.
Goes,
she says, well, Mama, are you... Oh, you're not scared of your old woman, are you? Girls don't never date a boy who wants you to be disrespectful to your mom and dad. He ain't no count. He's a crook. There's more of them than there are fake bonds in Florida. And brother, I'm telling you, you better starve that crowd like they got AIDS. Try to get you to go away against what your mom and daddy and your pastor trying to tell you is right.
Boy, he talks into it. Next thing you know, they're out yonder in a parked car somewhere, and Lover Boy starts. You better watch out. If it starts out in puppy love, it'll lead to a dog's life.
Well, I'm here to tell you, they first thing you know, he's this, and next thing you know, she's that. And she swept off her feet, and the music is playing. And it's just like on As the Stomach Turns the other day. And it's just like what she saw on television. And it's just like a teeny bop magazine in 17, 16, 14, 12, and all this. I tell you, mother, it ain't long until she has sacrificed that which is pure, and that which is holy, and that which God gave her to save for the man she married. And then, brother, old Lover Boy, at the hands of a wicked and vile and sinful man. The next thing you know, brother, she feels dirty. She feels cheap. She feels unwanted. But it's too late. It's too late. The next day at school, Lover Boy won't even look at her. She says, I'm just in love. I'm in love. I love him, girls. He's so cute. I just this and that. Hey, Tom. Hey. He won't even, he avoids her. She thinks, what's wrong? What's wrong? He loved me last night. That's where you made your mistake, kid. He didn't love you last night or the day before. He don't love you today. He didn't keep his dirty, rotten hands off of you. I'm telling you tonight, brother, it ain't wrong till she tells her mama, say, Mama, something wrong. Mama, something wrong. And finds out she's expecting an unwanted baby. And her mama's heart is broken. And she don't want the ladies in the church to find out. And she don't want the preacher to know about it. And they consider abortion and God knows what. And she said, honey, why'd you do it? We taught you better than that. She said, Mama, I didn't want to. Mama, I really didn't. I didn't mean to, but I couldn't stand the pressure. I must have been crazy. Now, your peers are those on your equal, or those that you grow up with. You're a seventh grader, your peers are the other seventh graders. Or sixth and now, those about your age. I will say three things about peer pressure. Number one, the fact of peer pressure. In case you don't believe what I'm saying, there may be some of you out there tonight that you're sitting there and you're thinking, I don't believe it's as bad as he said. I believe kids do what that because they really did. It's inside of them and all this stuff. I don't believe they're influenced by their friends. Just in case you're that dumb, I'm going to bring you a thought on the fact of peer pressure. Somebody done a survey, and I guess you're about sick of hearing about surveys as I am, but somebody done a survey and asked 13-year-olds what was the most important thing in the world then. And to be honest, the survey reported that the most important thing in the world. Now think about this. The most important thing in the world to a 13-year-old is not God, but the Bible, but mom and daddy. It's not doing right, making a good living. The most important thing to a 13-year-old is the opinion their friends have of them.
That's a tragedy, man. That is a tragedy.
That's why teenagers live in such a dangerous age. That, man, you're in trouble when the most important thing in the world is what your friends think of you. You are in trouble. You better be real careful.
Give you a little bit of personal testimony, my own personal experience. My mom took me to church when I was little. We went to a Methodist church up the street from where we live.
We moved when I was 5 years old or six. And after that, my family quit going to church, but I knew about God, and she taught me about Him when I was little. Now, I never went back any regular long before I got saved when I was 18. And I got in the third grade, about the third grade in school. And I was sitting on the bus one day, and these big boys started talking dirty around me. And they started using words I had never even heard before. I didn't even know what they meant. But I knew they was dirty.
You could feel it.
And when these boys started talking like that, they'd say a funny word in their life, and they'd say, "You know what that is, don't you?" And I'd say, "Yeah.
I know what in the world they're talking about."
Now, why do I want to lie to them? You know what? It wasn't long till I said one of them words. And I just said it to see what it felt like.
Boy, I felt real evil when I said it.
I said, "They'll like me if I say them bad words like they say." And I just started saying words that honestly I didn't even know what they meant. Man, it wasn't long until I began cursing. But I never would take God's name in vain. I'd always use the dirty words, but when it talked about God, I was scared to.
One day I was about in the sixth grade. And I went home with this nut that I used to run around with. And me and him, he cussed like a sailor. And my girlfriend lived, sixth grade, brother. My girlfriend lived right down the street from him. And we was going down to her house, and she cussed like a dog, too. And he had me on the front. You know, I was riding on the front of the handlebars on his bicycle. You know, you kids used to, one of them would ride, and the other would sit on the handlebars. And I was up on the handlebars, and we was flying down his driveway. And boy, we was going over rocks and bumps and going down through that. And he was GD this and GD that. And I tried it. And the first time I ever in my life took God's name in vain, I didn't want to do it. If I'd been to myself, I'd have never done it. But I'd done it to impress him that I could talk just as mean as he could talk. And I started
getting a little braver, and I started saying it more often.
And every time I'd say it, I'd feel dirty. All the time!
Then they started having parties.
I said, "You want to come to a party Friday night?" I said, "Yeah, might as well. Ain't nothing else to do."
We'd play ball. It got dark, and we'd go on girls' parties. They didn't party then like they do now. It's Sunday school class gathering compared to what it is nowadays. We'd get together, and they'd play, put up balloons, you know, have these little old record player, them sorry sounding things, little old speakers in them about that big. And they'd play the latest 45 single, you know, or the Beatles, you know, or something like that, you know. Boy, them things, they'd put them things on there. Two or three of them, that was, the girls was brave enough and the sissy boys would dance. And boy, we'd sit around there and sit around there and we'd wind up sitting beside our girlfriend somehow or another. And they'd play some stupid game like spin the bottle or something like that. Y'all know what spin the bottle is? Who? Man, where have y'all? You take a Pepsi bottle, and you have people sit around like this. And somebody gives a big ball in the ground like that, on the ground, and whoever it winds up pointing towards, then you go outside and kiss. And you come back in. So sure enough, brother, it wasn't long till it fell on my lot. My girlfriend,
she's a lot bigger than I was.
And she had red hair and freckles. I don't know why. I liked her for some reason or other. She grabbed me by the hand and said, "Let's go, brother." And out the door I went, son. I kid you not, man. I was scared. I didn't want to do that. She always wore right guards. And to this day, I can't stand that stuff. It stinks, man. I hate it. I'm going to smell sweat. Right guard. Anyway, she took me outside, and we went around the house down, got behind the big bush. And, boy, I was up against the IKEA. And, buddy, I mean, she got a big, deep breath. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth, brother. She ride back and flat laid one on me. And I thought it was over. And she didn't think like it. I said, oh, anybody? Lord, I was going... It's sickening. I hate it. She said, why'd you do it? Oh, no, it wasn't me. That's Samuel, I reckon. Why couldn't you take the pressure? I didn't want her going back to school. I tried to keep me with me, kiss me. You know, I didn't want her talking like that. I endured. And I thought there's something sickening about that. Be honest with you, it still seems, I mean, somebody flopping slobber, brother. I mean, it just hit me wrong. Really? And I think she smoked. Or something. You know, kissing somebody smokes just like licking an ashtray. It is. Amen. Well, anyway, you say, why'd you do that? I couldn't stand that. I didn't have the Lord. I didn't have enough guts to say no. Boy, you know what happened? One thing led to another. I got junior high, started playing basketball all the time, and I got 10th grade, man, went to a bunch of ball games. And I was always about a year younger. My daddy sneaked me in school when I was 5, and so everybody in my class was always a year older than me. I was lasted to get my license. I hated that. But I graduated when I was 17. I loved that. I'd been 17 just a few months and done out of high school. I was coming home to the ball game one night, again, with older boys. And I hated the thought of liquor and beer. I had an uncle that'd come over to our house when he'd pitch a drunk. He'd lay in our basement for days, and that was a sickening mess I'd ever seen. I thought, Lord, shoot, why would anybody want to do that? He'd lay down there and moan and groan, carry on, scare us to death, afraid he's going to burn the house down at night. My dad was also an alcoholic. His brother had died. I played in a rock and roll band. And when I was 13 years old, playing bass in a band, and brother coming home from dances where we played, people got there drinking, staggering around. My dad, because we didn't have license, drove the truck home, and I'd reach over when I was 13 or 14 and keep hold of the wheel, keep my daddy going to sleep, run us off road and killing us. I hated alcohol. I don't want to be my dad messed up like that. I said, I'll never touch it. My uncle tried to get me a taste of beer one time, and he popped one and put some salt on it. He said, here, taste this. I thought, gee, Lord, that's pig slop. That's what it tastes like. And I was coming home to the ball game one night, and all of a sudden them boys, one of them reached underneath the seat of the car and pulled out a six-pack. They started popping them, and they didn't even ask to kill. You say, what'd you do? I reached out my hand, baby. You say, oh, I'd never do that! Because you're sitting here in church tonight. That's easy to say. But when you get out there and the music's playing, it's different. It's different out there. The devil's in that. God's in here. It's easy to say, I'd never do this and never do that. Son, you better flat out some guts when you get out there, though. Oh, don't let them tell me. Hey, I hear you. I hear you. I can tell by looking at you. That's a lie. Boy, you know what? They handed me a big beer there, and I sat with it. Luckily, I was sitting right beside the window. I thought, I know what I'll do. So I watched them, they all put theirs up, I put mine up. They put theirs up, I put mine up. I went on like that for about 15 minutes, and I figured, well, I've about had enough time to see. I hadn't even took a sip out of it. They all started finishing theirs, and I went, that about does that, you know. Rolled down the window and just went, throw the whole thing out the window. Roll up the window real quick, because I didn't want them to hear it hit the ground. So if it was empty, it'd go, ding, 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 ding. But mine just went, dong. Because it was full. We went on down the road. You say, why'd you do a stupid thing like that? Because of the pressure. That's right. Come with me. I couldn't stand the thoughts.
Not being accepted.
There's young people in here tonight. You'll break your mama's heart to be accepted by your friends. You'll make her lie and cry and stay up at night and wonder where you're at. You don't care how you talk to her. You don't care how you make daddy feel.
We used to make our mom and dad work hard for a living, buy us the most fancy clothes, best tennis shoes, and all this stuff, that, brother,
just to please our friends.
Don't tell me there ain't no such thing. You know, these days, to illustrate what I'm saying is,
kids nowadays think a bad car makes them bad.
Well, if I can get me a bad car, you ain't no badder in a bad car than you was before you got it.
Hey, no, preacher. Well, if I had me a bad car, I'd cruise around down there. I'd slide around. I'd throw it in gear, and it'd be real shiny.
Before you got it.
Hey, no, preacher. Well, if I had me a bad car, I'd cruise around down there. I'd slide around. I'd throw it in gear, and it'd be real shiny. And everybody, the girl's heart would melt when they see me go by. You're the same little squirt. You're just in a bad car. You don't believe it? You take a guy up here, and you say, lift that piano. And he might get under here, and he might pick up one end of it or something like that. And he might not be able to pick it up at all. Then you park a brand new Trans Am right outside this building and say, drive that thing around the block. He'll get in there, drive to school for 3 days. Then come back up in here and try to lift that piano. He ain't a bit stronger. Matter of fact, he might be a little stronger if he's got an old sorry car. Takes so much muscle to turn the thing. Your car don't make you tough. If all you got the car to look bad, you ain't much, I can tell you that. Throws the same way. You can't throw a football a bit calmer after driving a Ferrari than you could drive a Volkswagen. That's right.
Before I got saved, it was Wrangler and Converse. Then it went to Levi's and Nike's. Then to Lee and Puma's. And then Calvin Klein, Kit and Panama Jack and Beats Bus and OP and
all this kind of stuff. Anybody got me a Panama Jack? Boy, ain't you tough. I bet you could work Godzilla with that Panama Jack shirt on, couldn't you? You say, what's wrong, Pam? I ain't saying anything wrong with it. I'm just saying, that don't make you nothing.
That don't make you nothing. Big deal.
See, nowadays we're saying, I got to get my head together, man. For sure. Fantastic.
You know, they think, boy, if I can use all the big words, I'll be tough like they're tough. And they ain't doing nothing but playing a game. You have to stay out. You have to read a few teen magazines nowadays to even understand them. You remember when hippies meant big in the hips? And a trip involved travel in cars, planes, and ships. When a fix was a verb, that meant mend or repair. And being meant simply existing somewhere. When neat meant well organized, tidy and clean. And grass was ground cover, normally green. When lots and not people were turned on and off. And the pill was something you took for a cough. When the fuzz was a substance that's fluffy like lint, and bread came from bakeries, not from a mint. When roll meant a bun, and rock was a stone, and hang up was something you did to the phone. When a swinger was someone who swung in a swing, and a pad was a soft sort of spongy thing. Word once so sensible and sober and serious are making the freak sing like psychedelirious. It's groovy, man, groovy, but English it's not. I think the language has gone to pot.
Took a bunch of young boys' revival meeting up on the mountain one day, about 14, 15 years old. We stopped on the way back, and I said, come on, boys, I'm going to buy you something to drink. We went in the little store there. I noticed one of them had a rag tied around his leg. Just an old handkerchief tied around his leg. And I said, why you got that rag tied around your leg? He said, "Some." Isn't that something?
That is wild, brother. But he didn't even know.
You say, what? It's called AC/DC, boy. I've got one. And by, you know, oh, man, come on. One day I saw a girl walking down the street, and she had a sweater. And her sweater was laying on her back, and she had the arm tied around her neck. And I thought, well, that girl got real hot and took off her sweater.
And she just don't want to wear it because it's hot and she's on her way home. But it wasn't just a few days. I seen another girl with her arms. I thought, don't say no. That goes over your head. Your arms goes in them holes. It wasn't long till I began to see. And man, you go in the mall and they got them dummies standing there with their sweater tied around their neck. You say, Brother Danny, what's wrong? There ain't nothing in the world wrong with you. You want to wear it like, wear it on your feet for all I care. I'm trying to illustrate a point, brother. Kids are pressured into doing about 90% of what they do just to be accepted by their friends. That's a sad, sad situation.
Boy's got an earring. The first time I saw a boy with it, I thought, Lord, hell, what in the world? Now he's got a rat tail. You ever seen one with a rat tail? I seen one got completely black eyes and a little blonde rat tail hanging down through that. Oh, brother.
What you do when you're in the fourth grade?
Bill likes the girl you like, and she likes Bill. And you say, the reason she likes Bill is because he's got them bad boots.
Mama, I want some boots.
Take me to the store. Mama hauls you all over town. This time, no, I am ugly. This time, no, I hate them. Son, these are warmer and they don't cost as much. I can't stand them, Mama. Every time I want. Come on. Take you to see it. Is this cut? There they are, right there. Shoes, son, them look soft. No, that's everybody's wearing them like that, Mama. I've got to have them. So Mama gets you them boots just like Bill. You come to school. Put your leg out there in the aisle, hoping she'll see your bad boots like Bill. Then, quit interrupting me. I'm trying to preach a sermon. Then, you see Tom's shirt, and you said, that is a night. That shirt is cool. That shirt is uptown. I want that shirt. Mama, I got to have a shirt. Mama, please. Poor old Mama working her fingers for the bones, you brat. Boy, Mama, I got to have it. I got to have it. Got to have a little tag right here. Says he's the best. It's got to be this brand or that. Well, here's some one looks just like it. High price. No, that's ugly. I got to have one. Well, here he goes to school. Yeah, so far he's got Tom's shirt and Bill's bad boots. Did he like Joe's belt? Joe has got a tough belt. Look at that belt buckle. Man, I love that belt that Joe's got. Gotta have one like that. So far, he is a combination of Bill's boots, Joe, Tom's shirt. Thank you, brother. And come by his belt. All right? Before that kid. That's why when these teenagers get saved, and that's why when you pick them up hitchhiking, they're trying to find themselves. They don't know who they are. I picked up a guy one time, and I said, are you a Christian? Or something? He said, well, not really. I'm just trying to find myself. I thought, well, right there, y'all. I didn't find myself. He said, I'm going to Florida to find. I said, you ain't in Florida, man. You're here. He said, I just ain't found myself yet. You know why? They're play acting. They're not an individual. And they're a combination of Bill, Joe, Tom, Sue, this, that. They got hair like this one. They got a hat like this one. They got shoes like this one. And, brother, they don't have no identity. They don't have no individuality. They don't have no person. Thank God. Thank God. That's one thing the Lord done for me. When I got saved, I got to quit acting. I dropped out of the acting business. I'm just being who I am. I ain't putting on an act. You know why I'm doing what I do right now? It comes just as natural as breathing, brother. I'm who I am by the grace of God. And they're the ones that says we live by a bunch of rules. And they're free. You imagine, here I go cruising down the road in my car. I dress the way I want. Don't care what you think about it. I read my Bible. I pray. I preach what I want. Preach what God gives me. It don't matter what a deacon says. It's a big deal, man. I just do what I want to do. I'm free in Jesus. And then here's a guy walking down the highway with combat boots on and a cowboy hat and about 100 pounds on his shoulder. Walking down like he ain't had a bath in 2 weeks. Living off cheese crackers and peanut butter. Telling me that he's free and cool and got it made? You gonna make me believe that, buddy? He's a slave. You know what rock singers are? They're slaves. Jesus said, he that committeth sin is the servant of sin.
Right.
Well, who are you anyway, young folks? Who are you? Do you know? Are you sure?
Pause it now.
The greatest day in your life will be the day that you let God make you who he wants you to be.
Amen.
You get to quit trying to be Brooks Shields
and Don Amos, the Hulk. Be what God wants you. You sit there and watch it and you say, ooh, I can't stand her. She's so pretty. Look, who cares? Them beautiful's a curse.
Amen.
Them rich is a curse. Right. You know what? Go your head.
Uh-huh.
You think that you're something you're not.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, what dost thou have that thou didst not receive? What do you got God didn't give you?
Right.
You say, well, I'm pretty. Who made you that way? And by the way, that's a matter of opinion.
Yeah.
If that you girls as pretty as you think you are, the movies would be after you. You know what? You sit there and watched your idol so long that you think you look like them. Or some old reprobate full of lust complimented you and bragged on him, and you believed him. But he didn't shut his eyes and imagine. Don't make no difference to him. And you're the fool for believing him.
Amen?
You say, I ain't never heard nobody. Well, it's about time you heard it. You visitors, you've been living a sheltered life. You need your intellect broadened.
Amen.
You just hear one side of the story. Secondly, I want to say this evening, the danger of peer pressure. It's very, very dangerous.
If it's not checked in your life, it'll, you know what it'll do?
You say, well, Brother Danny, I don't see no harm in wearing tennis shoes. I didn't say that one thing in the world was. I think you ought to. I got some myself. But I'm saying if you ain't real careful, it'll carry over into the spiritual realm. The next thing you know, you don't want nobody to call you up. You're not one of them, are you? We got some young people in our church, and I thank God for them. They ain't all they ought to be. But boy, we got some that bring their friends at school to our church. They ain't ashamed of us. We run the aisle, they shout, they tire the building down, just like you do here. You know what they some young people think? Raving, maniacal, fanatics. Lose their control of their emotions. I think you should worship God quietly. Now, I know what's wrong with you. You're full of the devil. You've got the devil in you, and it embarrasses you when somebody does praise the Lord. Because you know the ball game, and the little boy gets the football game. Ah! He made it! That don't bother you a bit. You know, the Tar Heels, I could brag on the Tar Heels right now if I wanted to. Last I heard, they were 21-0. They did? You're lying. A preacher. Is he telling the truth? I don't believe it. Just get away that I got through, man. Up home, they wear bumper stickers on their car. And they said, if God is not a Tar Heel, why is the sky Carolina blue? Boy, that makes me mad. Man, I've been kind of hoping they'd lose. I thought about putting on our church sign, if God were a Tar Heel, they wouldn't have got beat.
Amen.
You know something?
I'll tell you, brother, this thing's dangerous. You better watch real careful. That's why I warn kids over and over and over, watch who you hang out with. Because who you hang out with, who you going to wind up being like. Who you are? You're not going to change them. Because you and that crowd, you ain't going to change that crowd.
You say, well, I'm dating this old bum, and I know he ain't much, but hey, he's got a little good in him. I'm going to change him. No, you're not.
He'll be exactly how he is now or worse. You keep fooling with him.
Carry into the spiritual realm. It'll get you in trouble with your parents. Then your teachers, then the law, finally God, anytime.
Young people sit in the church.
During the invitation to grab the pew, I'd preach on hell, I'd preach on
judgment to come. I saw teenagers, 13
and 14, 15 years old,
standing and holding on the pews. Tears just running off the face.
You know what they'd do? They'd look up at the altar,
they'd look down.
They'd look up at the altar,
they'd look down.
Next thing
you got friends that don't want you to get saved and go to heaven. You don't need no enemies. You might as well face it. They're not your friends. I made up my mind when I was 18. I run around, boy, I could do about anything I wanted to. I had a little MG. I run around the top damn boy and cruise around that, you know, little bitty town like that. And I made up my mind one day, they could everyone laugh their heads off. They could, and they, some of them have, too.
Some of them, did your friends make fun of you when you got saved?
Sure.
Didn't kill me.
I'm alive. Don't come whining up to me about, you don't know what it's like being a teenager. Oh, yeah, I do, too. My best friend laughed and said I wouldn't make it 2 weeks. Mock me! Don't come crying up to me and say, well, it's hard for us teenagers. It is hard, but it ain't impossible. You can do it. Don't play me no sad tunes, you know. I knew a 14-year-old boy that got right with God. With the God all the way through high school. Carried his Bible. Stood for the Lord! Don't tell me you can't do it.
Okay. I was talking, witnessing to a young man. I'm going to hurry and close in just a moment.
I was witnessing this boy, and him, my wife, and his girl he's going to marry were best friends in school, so they come to me to marry him. And so I began to witness to her, because, you know, I wasn't going to mind if one of them wasn't saved. She claimed to be saved, and he said he'd never been saved. So I started showing him how to be saved out of the Bible. And I went through the scripture with him, and I said, you got to do this and that, and call on the Lord, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and all that. And I said, well, and I called his name, and this boy is, his daddy is one of the most influential men in our county. He's got the dough, boy. He's always doing some big project here or that. And I began to talk to him, and I said, do you want to get saved? And he started exploring. And I said, come on now, let's just get this thing settled. Let's bow right here and ask the Lord to save us. And I said, why won't you? And that boy, he was educated, had money, had the best of clothes, lived in a fancy house, one of those well-to-do people in our county. Turned around, looked at me, and he said, here's pressure. I've never had just come right out and tell me. Most times they'll say, well, I'm just not sure, and they'll make some kind of excuse. That boy was honest.
He was afraid of what his friends. He had probably heard what some of his friends said about me. I mean, you name it, son. I've been calling it. That's him.
Oh, preacher was talking right now about them, them two things that lady had heard. What are you at, bro? What's brother get that?
Man, you wouldn't believe. That's all. I'm sure you got more, but Lord. They said in our church we wouldn't let the women shave their legs. Well, I told him, I said, Lord, I don't care if it's in them or not. It's between you and God and your husband. I want my wife to.
This ain't there, but old high-legged beast. It's up to you.
They said I locked the back door and made everybody give their jewelry and everything before I let them get out of church. They said I sold them drugs. Man, I've been told everything to much. Our town's real, and our church is big. And there they started us, we have all signs, you wouldn't believe. You wouldn't believe.
And that boy looked at me and said, he just wasn't willing to handle that.
And I'm like, no way!
Last thing I want to say this evening is the cure of peer pressure.
There's a cure. The fact, the danger,
thank God there's a cure. There is a cure. You may be sitting back there tonight, hundreds of you young people saying, boy, he's just driving me up one side and down the other. How did he know? How did I'll tell you.
There's a cure.
You can get over it. You don't have to live your life like they want you to live it. Here it is. It's 3 steps. Number one, turn to Jesus Christ with all your heart and live for him.
That's the first step. Come up here, get down on your knees, and say, "Dear Lord, I'm turning my life over to you. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll lie what you want me to lie. I'll say what you want me to say." That's the first step to getting cured. That's I went through that one. I come a time where I said, "God,
it don't matter what they say, I want to live for you."
That's the first step. Turn to Jesus. I ain't talking about Jesus Christ Superstar. I'm talking about Jesus the bright morning star. I ain't talking about Jesus that come to turn you on. I'm talking about Jesus that come to turn you around. I ain't talking about Jesus that come to get you high. I'm talking about Jesus come to make you low. But he might exalt you in due time. Step number two. Don't be a style follower. Be a style center. Isn't it? Somebody help me start a fad, you can start one. Right. How's it get? I notice a lot of people, they just will not stick out. That's my girl called up and said, "What are you going to like? I'm not going to like. I'm not going to like." Well, who cares? Why? What's wrong with you? Start a style. Don't say, "Well, I got to find out what's in and what's out. I got to wear this. So I got to wear that." Here you're getting. Take your Bible to school. Monday morning. I mean, well, glory to God, hallelujah. Good morning, teacher. All right. Why, you'd be surprised. You may start something. That's right. Who would have ever thought anybody would have followed Boy George? Who would have thought that? Son, you can do anything these days and get a fad going. Wild is the better, and that's about wild things you can do. Well, you might see other kids come in the next day. It might be pretty soon. Revival may break out in your school, and next thing you know, you see a kid come to school without a Bible. Everybody, look at that silly thing. I ain't even got a Bible. That's right. It was almost that way in the revival, I got to say, man. It's part of the community upside down. 150 young folks made professions of faith. I've done got out of school, but son, they had in the third grade, had the teachers a-crying, kids getting saved in school, the principal was letting them out at lunchtime to go up to church and pray, for the Lord like to take that school over. Son, there's one thing. You know why the devil's after young people so strong? There's a lot of old folks done over the hill, and they've about done all they're going to do for God, but you get a bunch of young people on fire for God, I believe the devil shakes in his boots. You know why? Because they'll do something. It might be wrong, but they'll do something. You get enough young people, there's enough energy there, something going to blow them somewhere. That's right. I'd rather be around a saved young person on fire for God than anybody I know. Don't be a style. We got a boy here tonight. Bobby?
Well, yeah. Stand up over there, brother.
See that boy right there? You 19? He's 19 years old. Just graduated from high school this year. He prayed at school. He witnessed to his friends. He's lived for God for the last 2-3 years, right? He's saved now and preacher. Brother, he went to school, and I mean, he gave his English teacher a fit. He told his mother that he bothered her. But you know who got the blame for that? I got a phone call, stuff like that, you know, let them take tracks to school. Some of them said, "I just don't believe," you know, all this stuff. I tell you what, that young man there stood for God in high school. Did they laugh at you? Did they make fun of you? Did they call your name? You living? You ain't gonna die. You say, "I'm scared of what they might say." Ain't you scared of what God might do to you? I'm more afraid of him than I am them, brother. 16 stones may break my bones, but the Lord can do a lot more than that. Fear not them which can kill the body, but after that have no more, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both, no witnesses, soul and body in hell.
Last thing. See,
number one, turn to Jesus with all your heart. Number two, don't be a style follower. Be a style setter.
Number three, remember, it's not what people think that matters. It's what God knows.
Amen. As the boy got saved, he rededicated his life to the same revival I got saved in. That boy was on fire for God. He'd go out and get out trash with us late at night. We'd go up to the laundromat, the only place open in town, man.
He'd go out there and
buy the truck stop. We'd just go in there giving out trash, witnessing people. He'd go with us on some of those things. And little by little, his mother didn't want him becoming a fanatic. His daddy was a preacher. His mother played the piano. But she didn't want him being, you know, she was one of these parents that said, now, you can't convert the world. You can carry this too far. Lord God, moms and dads, if you got a teenager who wants to do something for God, let them do it. Let them do it. You ought to get down on your face and thank God you got a young person that wants to maybe give out a class or witness to this thing. He kept on and on and on and on, and that boy got to where he didn't go with us no more. And he played guitar and piano. He's real musically talented. Next thing I knowed, he's out of church. Next thing I know, he's playing in a rock and roll band. We'd go down to bar or something, mic on or something from him, and we'd play in a gospel group then when I actually got saved. And they'd be down in the basement just a jamming out, boy. Talking about busting your eardrums. And we'd try to talk to him, oh, he was cool then. He was all right. Oh, little God! Went with his body! One morning, I was on my way to church. Went over a hill, and I met a car coming this way, and they flagged me down. And I stopped and said, did you hear about Gary? I said, no, what? He, the lead player in the band? Oh, three other boys, I think. No, two other boys, there were four of them. Gone out that night of partying and stuff and went over a hill. And big curve, just like this, went that way. When the curve went that way, the car kept going straight. Went into a big bank right before we got to a big cornfield. Killed all four of them, just like this. What they done to him? They married him. You know why? He let them sins of his control his life. And that's exactly where some of you kids are going to wind up here tonight. If you don't let God Almighty take control of your life. It's dangerous. Don't be afraid. I want our musicians to come tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't want to take up too much time, but I feel like we ought to give a short invitation. Preachers come in, we're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I want to hear tonight how many young people. Young people. 21 and below. Will say, Brother Danny, I'm coming to that altar tonight. I'm giving my all to Jesus Christ. Hang on, let them tell me what to do. Hang on, let them run my life. By the grace of God, I want to stand for Jesus. We're going to pray. You can go ahead and get up right now and start coming to the altar if you want to. Is there a young person? Is there? All right, that's right. Come on, girl. Thank you. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Maybe others. Maybe others. I ain't gonna let this world send me to hell. No! I'm gonna live for Jesus. Some of you moms and dads might want to slip down here and pray with some of these kids. They may need help. They may be confused. They won't have the strength to say no to the devil if they don't have the Lord in their heart. That's right, kids. Get up. That's right. Amen. Come on, boys. Amen. Keep coming. We're gonna pray! God did it with your heart tonight. Just get up out of your seat and come right now. Thank God. Thank God. It's not worth it, young folks. It's not worth it. Dear Lord, bless the invitation. Oh, God, may the Spirit come and set some young person loose tonight. Don't let them be bound up in the fads and fashions of this world. Lord, you said, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The world's coming to naught. The fashion of this world passeth away. Oh, dear God, may the message hit home to some young heart tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.